faithfully to seek you in this world and to give you our gifts. Speak your word, for we are listening. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But God will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Nations shall come to your light, and leaders to the brightness of your dawn. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of God. The word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." For you are a chosen race, a loyal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel. In the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star that's rising, and we have come to honor him." Now when Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. So he summoned the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he asked them, "Where was it that the Messiah was to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem, in the land of Judea. For so it is written in the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" So Herod secretly summoned the Magi and ascertained exactly when it was that that star had appeared. And when he'd heard from them, he sent them on their way. And he said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I also may go and honor him." So they went. And ahead of them went that star that they'd been seeing from the very beginning, until it stopped over the house where Jesus was. And when they saw that, they were overjoyed. And entering the house, they found the child and his mother Mary, and they knelt down, and they honored him. And opening their treasure chests, they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for home by another road. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. In the time of King Herod, this whole story is cast in the shadow of this tyrant, the sort of king that we recognize. A tyrant, an arrogant, self-centered, insecure bully who will exercise his power for his own benefit, but not other people's, who doesn't mind even other people being hurt or killed for his own gain. Something like the slaughter of a whole village of children, something like little kids being separated from their parents and hauled off. It's sort of his trademark. It's the way tyrants behave. all of his actions and his language are the language and the actions of threat and danger and death and destruction. His only power is the power to insult or to threaten or to demean. He never uses his power for anybody else's blessing. Probably not aware that he doesn't actually have that power, that it's sustained by the people around him who give him that power, including the religious leaders who've sold all of their religious principles and are supporting him because they're using him for their own personal gain. Maybe not realizing that he's using them for his personal gain. And we don't know if he's aware of how much his power comes from another ruler across the ocean. Every Herod depends on another Caesar. He acts like he's powerful, but really, he's pretty afraid, isn't he? I mean, what ruler would stoop to picking on a child unless he were pretty insecure? He talks with the language of greatness, but he's actually the king of fear. And in the time of Herod, there is born a child who has come to be called the King of the Jews, a completely different kind of king. In fact, the exact opposite of the king of fear. Jesus is the king of love. He uses his power only to bless and heal and lift up other people, only for other people's blessing and well-being. Never for his own gain. Understands fully that his power is not his own, but comes from God. In fact, his power is rooted in his willingness to surrender, to be powerless. And in that powerlessness, the infinite love of God flows through for the sake of other people. I have the royal blood of both of those kinds of kings in me. And I want very much to follow and obey the King of Love. And sometimes I find myself honoring the King of Fear instead. So how can I be more loyal to the King of Love and not so loyal to the King of Fear? Well, I have some help. In the time of King Herod, there came from the east magi. I love those magi. They're my people. We like to call them the three kings. We have no idea how many Matthew had in mind. Maybe he meant two. Maybe he meant 27. He might have meant three because that made it a lot easier for Thelma to make a flower arrangement with three instead of 27. In the Syriac tradition, there were 12. We say three because there were three gifts. We don't exactly know what Matthew might have wanted us to imagine when he says magi, but probably something like Zoroastrian astrologers, something sort of halfway between philosophers and scientists and priests. Maybe the closest we could come in our language is wizards. What Luke or Matthew really means is foreigners who practice a different religion. Because even they find value in this child who is not apparently just for the Jews, but for everybody. We like to think of them as kings. We have a tradition that one of them was black. Think about this. They were all black. None of them were from France or Norway. They were maybe from Africa or Persia or India. They weren't white, folks. They were not white. And they weren't really kings of territories, but there was something noble and royal about them. kind of fun to pretend that they were kings. And if they were kings, they certainly were not kings of fear. They certainly weren't the king of heaven. I think of them as kings of wisdom. They paid attention. They noticed what was around them. They noticed the natural world. They noticed this star. They paid attention to it. They discerned some meaning in that star. That there was the birth of a king who mattered to them. And so they devoted themselves to what mattered, which is what wisdom is all about. And so they followed the light of that star wherever it took them. And it was probably a long journey. And they had to ask directions. And they had to adjust their journey when they discovered that Herod was not to be trusted. They continued their journey by a different way. And what they were looking for was divinity. They were looking for royalty. They were looking for nobility. And they found it in the most unlikely place. Imagine these kings who are accustomed to lives of luxury and elegance and ease, arriving at the poor hovel of a peasant and saying, "Ah, we have found nobility. We have found divinity here where nobody else is looking." Imagine if we were to learn from them. What if one way to be a king or a noble or royal is simply to look for what is divine and noble and seek that out wherever we find it? In their case, even in a poor hovel of some peasants. In our case, maybe in people that we don't like or respect or at least expect divinity or nobility from. What if we thought of ourselves as those magi who are just looking for the presence of God wherever we can find it? We'd probably find it. The other day I was waiting at a red light, and in the car in front of me, the driver rolled down his window, threw out some trash, and rolled up the window. Oh, the first thing I wanted to do was break his windshield. But then the next thing that I actually wanted to do was get out and pick up the trash and throw it back into his car and tell him to throw it away in the right place. Or, if he locked his door, stick it under his windshield and make him look at that. I wanted to lecture him. I wanted to go after him. And then two things happened. One was that I started thinking of him instead of my disgust and imagined that maybe he was a person that didn't need to be yelled at. Maybe he was a person. Maybe he was a child of God. I started to think about him differently. And the second thing that happened was that the light turned green, so there was no big scene. Much to Beth's relief. As I drove on, I thought about those two different ways that I thought about that driver. Two totally different ways of looking at him. Through the eyes of my disgust at this bad thing that he was doing, or my ability to see him as a person who was good and worthy, and maybe God was in him even if he was doing a bad thing. It was a simple little interaction. But I thought about those magi looking for the divine presence and finding it in an unexpected place and saying, "Okay, that's where it is. I will give my gifts." What if we lived like that? What if we were that kind of royalty, that kind of nobility? Not followers of the king of fear, certainly not the ruler of heaven, but wizards of love and wisdom and generosity who looked for the divine and the noble in other people. Maybe if we saw it, that would enable them to be more noble and less selfish. Maybe if we see that in ourselves, we can be more noble and less caught up in our own stuff. Wizards of love and wisdom and generosity. Because the Christ child is born in us too. We can do that. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks that your divine presence is incarnate in us and in others. Open our eyes to your presence, to the beauty and nobility of all your children. Help us to be magi of wisdom, wizards of love and generosity. God of grace, we thank you for your love. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.